Today's reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour came, Jesus sat at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after supper, saying, This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you have any friends who are great ones? I suppose some of you do have friends who are great ones. See, it never occurs to me that anybody can have a friend who's a great one, because I don't have a friend who's a great one. It says something about me. But I suppose it's possible that you could have a friend who's a great one. It may come as a shock to you to know this, but the Prime Minister has not phoned me since I've been in the country. But then he hasn't phoned me when I've been in the country either. Neither way. They haven't asked me to rush over to Fiji to lend any support there. I suppose if you've been properly brought up, you wouldn't dream of name dropping, would you? But then if you've been properly brought up, you'll have learned how to do it and not be vulgar, won't you? I want to talk today about love and friendship. I want to talk about companionship and the wonder of being loved and the possibility of loving, because they are the very essence of life. You can put up with almost anything if somebody loves you. On the other hand, if you're not loved, you can hardly put up with anything. It has that effect on us, doesn't it? And if you're not loved, you'll be desperately lonely, and you'll be crowding your life out with work or anything so you can forget it. Now, the Bible speaks into the situation of loving and being loved. And the part of the Bible that was read to us today speaks right into that. You remember, here we are, as we were last week, at the Last Supper with Jesus and his apostles. He's about to die. The very next day, in fact, he does die on the cross. And there he is with them. And he's passed the bread around and he says to them, This is my body. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the cup comes around and he says, this cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood, which is for you. Now, you remember last week I said, to understand what the new covenant is, you've got to understand something about the old covenant, don't you? And for those of you who weren't here last week, or for those of you who were, we'll give it a brush up too. Don't worry, I'm not so foolish as to think you remember what happened last week. I couldn't remember it myself, that's why I brought the notes with me. Find out what I was on about last week. And what was the nature of the old covenant? God called his people the Jews. And he took them, slave people, out of Egypt under Moses, their leader. And he entered into agreement with them. He made a contract. You remember two clauses. Clause one, I'll be your God. Clause two, you'll be my people. That was the nature of the agreement. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. And what was the purpose of that agreement? What was the whole function of the covenant? Why did they draw up that contract? Why, he said, you and I together will demonstrate to the whole of mankind for all times what a brilliant thing it is for a nation to have God as their God. Well, as I told you last week, you remember they continually blew it, didn't they? In the school that I went to, every now and about once a month, you'd have one of those occasional addresses, like, we were all immediately called to attention. And so many shirt buttons popped up off as chests were hurled out to show that you were properly at attention. And then we were reminded of the school rule, the school motto. And then we were told what a great privilege it was to be a person in this school. And indeed we were invited to get out of it if we didn't want to stay. Plenty of boys to take your place. It's a pucker school. Plenty to take your place. Please leave if you don't want to be in it. And we'd have the occasional sermon of the school rule and to do the right thing because we were to bring honour to this school, etc., etc., etc. Now the prophets were not unlike that. The prophets turned up on the scene of Israel and they said, you're not ordinary people. You're not ordinary people. You're pucker people. God has entered into special relationship with you. Did he say to the Egyptians, I'll be your God and you'll be my people? He didn't. Did he say to the Philistines, I'll be your God and you'll be my people? He didn't. But he did say it to you. And God has given you the rules. And he's called on you to love him and to show the whole world how good it is to have God as their God. Well, of course, the Jews, they never really got it right, did they? There'd be a little bit of a brush up for a while, but it never lasted. It never lasted. And as we go down the tracks, the prophets begin to tell us that God is going to make a new covenant. He'll start all over again. Remember I said that last week? You don't need to answer to that. You don't need to answer to that. I know you haven't, but I'm telling you again so that we can try and get it brushed up. On the back of the yellow sheet, there's one of the promises made to Jeremiah, one of the promises made by Jeremiah the prophet about how God will bring in the new covenant. Let's have a look at the new covenant because they're the three things we're looking about. Three features of the new covenant. See it on the back, God no longer a stranger at the top. Here's Jeremiah 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. No, it will not. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. Remember, we did that last week. As opposed to the law on the wall. What happens with the law on the wall? It excites you to sin. We grow to hate it. It condemns us because we can't keep it. It stands against us in the judgment. What happens when God writes his law on our heart? We long to please him. We long to do the things that he wants us to do. We're not frightened of the judgment day because we know we've been forgiven. Okay, that was the first thing. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Now here's the thing for today. Have a look at it. No longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the greatest, from the least of them to the greatest. No longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Now, this may take you by surprise, and if it does, it ought. God wants to enter into friendship with you. God wants to enter into friendship with you. Many people view God rather like they do the Queen, don't they? They hold him in very high regard and cheer and wave from the back of the crowd. But the Bible picture is one of great intimacy, where God has entered into relationship with us, where we're really friends with him. Now it's staggering that the living God will become friends with you, isn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I find it staggering when you consider that he knows you exactly the way you are and still wants to enter into friendship with you. I mean, I don't know anything about you, but I wouldn't mind having you on, I think. Well, roughly speaking, we'd give it a go for a while anyway. But God, knowing you through and through, says, I'll be your God and you'll be my people, and no longer will a man need to teach his neighbour or his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. Just before I came to the UK, I stayed in a house in Darwin. It was the rectory, and there was a three-year-old there, Jeremy Appleby. Every time we went away from the house, he waved us goodbye. Well, first of all, we had a leaping up and down and complaining because he wasn't allowed to come. And then as the car drove out of the drive, he'd call out, the last word that echoed in my ear was, John Chapman, I will be your friend when you come back. John Chapman, I will be your friend when you come back. And from time to time, he declared the alternative. He said, John Chapman, you are not my friend anymore, mainly when I kicked him out of my room. I knew where I stood there. Just imagine the living God saying, John Chapman, you are my friend. I offer you my friendship. The first thing I want to say today is that God himself will enter into friendship with all the people of the new covenant. No, he will not be aloof. He will be their friend, a person with whom they may share their joys and have them manifold again and again and again, 100 times over. Somebody with whom our sorrows can be shared and have them halved. Good times made better, fears alleviated, because I know what it is to be friends with the living God. Someone with whom I can share my hopes and aspirations. A relationship where his knowledge of life is shared with me, and where he shows me new ways of looking at life and thinking about it, and he causes me to love the things he loves. And not only will he enter into that friendship now, but that friendship will go on beyond this life into heaven, and as one of the new covenant people of God, we'll be with him in the new creation forever. God says, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like that useless one that didn't ever get off the ground. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I'll write my law on your heart and on your mind. And no longer will a man say to his neighbour or his brother, know the Lord, because they will all know me. Now that's not a new idea. The psalmist waxes lyrical as he thinks of the wonder of what it is for a man to have God as his friend. And he describes it in the sheep-shepherd relationship. And he said, what is it like for a person to have God as their shepherd? To be in relationship. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. He makes me to lie down. It's a beautiful idea, isn't it? In green pastures beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, does fear grip hold of me? He said, it doesn't. His rod and his staff comfort me. And he says, in the presence of my enemies, when you have God as a friend, as a shepherd, he refreshes me. Goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And he said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He speaks of that intimacy of relationship. Do you know that? Do you know what it is to have God as your friend? Because if you're in the new covenant people of God, that's what it's like. They will all know me. Do you know that saying we've got when we're not friends with somebody? We say, well, I hardly know him. We're not friends. But God says, when I make a new covenant with my people, this is the feature. I write my law on their heart and on my mind. They will all know me. Supposing today's the day of judgment. The balloon goes up. And you're all in the long queue, waiting, boy, quite a long queue it'd be, waiting to come before the throne of God. And you've been waiting quite a bit, but now it's your turn. You're right there. And God is on his throne. As he looks down to you, do you think he'll say something like, "How good it is to see you, old friend"? Do you think he'll say something like that? Or do you think he'll say something like, "We haven't actually met, have we? I never knew you." The feature of the new covenant here today before us is this. They will all know me. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say is that it is for everybody. Have a look. "No longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." Do you think you're the least in the city? Anybody volunteering? No. Well, you think you're the greatest in the city? Oh, well, we've got everybody in between then. There you go. I thought we'd probably have in-betweens. You see, it's absolutely inclusive. Whereas the old covenant was absolutely exclusive, this one is inclusive. It's for you. The wonder of it is it's for you. God says, you can be my friend. They will all, A-double-L, know me, from the least of them to the greatest. You say, "Woo, back, take it easy, John. You don't know what I'm like." Well, I'm just telling you that I've got a fair idea. I mightn't be able to do it in the fine details, but in the broad sweep, I think I'd probably be able to get somewhere near the mark. Of course you can't be friends with God unless you're forgiven. Of course you can't be friends with God unless you're cleansed. I know that. That's what the whole deal in the new covenant is about. Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood." What is the feature about the new covenant? It's for everybody. Everybody who'll come and be cleansed. Everybody who'll come to Jesus and say, "I need you to write your law on my heart and on my mind. I need to make a fresh start and a new beginning. And whoever you are and wherever you are, this promise comes to you." God says they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. What is the first feature of this? God himself will become friends with you. Just ponder on that, will you, for a moment? On the sheer wonder of that. The living God who made the heavens and the earth will become friends with you. With you. Whether you be the least, or whether you be the greatest, or whether you come in between. Let me tell you the third feature of this today. Notice it. No longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." You don't need a priest any longer, or a priestly person. You don't need, a man doesn't need his neighbour or his brother saying, "Know the Lord." Why? Because they'll all know me. I was wearing my clerical collar out one day, and as I leapt out of the office, I passed a man in Sydney Square, and he says, "Say one for me, will you, Father?" I said, "Say one for yourself, you lazy coot." "You think I am?" Now, do you get the point here? You probably don't get the point after that. Do you get the point? What is it your priest can do that you can't do yourself in the new covenant? In the old covenant, of course, you couldn't get into the presence of God. You know how many people in the old covenant got into the presence of God? One in the whole nation. You know how often he made it? Once a year. And then after the most elaborate ceremonies, you couldn't speak to God face to face. In the old covenant, you've got your priest to do that for you. But in the new covenant, you don't need the priestly person. You yourself can go into the very presence of God with your hopes, with your aspirations, with your sorrows, with your fears, with your joys. What's left for your priest to go with? You yourself can go into the very presence of God, being completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus. What is there left for your priest to do? And so, God promises the eradication of it. He said, no longer will we need somebody to say, know the Lord. You won't need a go-between, because you'll be friends with God. There won't be anybody who'll be closer than you who can put in a good word for you, because you'll be right there yourself. It's a bit breathtaking, isn't it? No longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the greatest to the least. Well, is that what it's like for you? Is it like that for you? You know what it is to be friends with God. Now, you remember when we came to the end last week, I asked you if the law of God was written on your heart. Do you love to do the things that God loves for you to do? And now here's another question for you today. Are you one of the new covenant people of God? Do you know God like that, as a friend? And you say, that's the way I live my life. I'm not talking about the sort of people who make telephone calls every now and again when they're in a jam. That's not friendship. I'm talking about a life lived in daily communion with God, where you know what it is to be forgiven because of Jesus. You know what it is to be on speaking terms with the living God. You know what it is for Him to speak to you as you read His word. And you know what it is for your life to be being remade. Is it like that? How's it possible? Jesus is again the clue. What does He say at the Last Supper? This is my body given for you. This is my blood. This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood. When Jesus died, He took the punishment which my sin deserved so that I could be forgiven and come right into the presence of God as a cleansed man. God will have me back again because of the death of Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, you can be one of the new covenant people of God. The law written on your heart and on your mind. You can know what it is to be true friends with God. Now, if I had time to go round one by one and ask you if that does describe your relationship with God, for some people they would say, well, no, I'm not like that. It's perfectly clear to me that I'm not one of the new covenant people of God. And today's a great day to change. The Bible says, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. When you hear God saying to you, come into friendship with me. Today is the day to make a fresh start. Well, if it's right for you to do it today, do it. Don't put it off. You know if you're one of God's covenant people? You know perfectly well if you're friends with Him. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer for people who know they're not in the new covenant. They say, it's time I changed. Listen while I go through it. I'll go through it slowly so you can think it through. See if it's appropriate for you. It won't be appropriate for everybody, I know that. But if it's appropriate for you, I'm going to invite you to pray it with me. I'll just read it so you can listen. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for me. From today onwards, I want to live under your authority. Please forgive me and make me one of the new covenant people. I want you to be my God. I want to be your person. Now you'll know if that's appropriate for you. If you're already one of the new covenant people, it won't be. But if today's a fresh start, I'll pray the prayer as I did last week, sentence by sentence, and I'll stop. If it's good for you, echo it to God inside your head. And if you're not with us, just for a minute, hang in. It'll only take a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for me. From today onwards, I want to live under your authority. Please forgive me and make me one of your new covenant people. I want you to be my God. I want to be your person. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, may I draw your attention on the back, underneath the verse I've been looking at, there's a three possibility for you to ask for some more help. If you prayed the prayer today and you become one of God's new covenant people, news the operative word, if you prayed the prayer and you meant it, you can be sure that prayer's been heard and answered. And it's a good day for you. Welcome to God's people. I never come any better than that, to have started out on a new life with God as your friend, the law written on your heart. You will need help, and this is the simplest way we can think of asking for help. See what it says? It says, I've received Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. That's what you've done if you prayed the prayer. Put a tick in the box, write your name and address, hand it to one of the sidesmen, or drop it in the box on the way out, and help is on the way to you. Okay? Somebody filled one in last week. They obviously wanted help. They didn't write their name and address. And the officers in this church are very clever people. And they looked at the blank up in the phone book, but there didn't seem to be a number there. So we see it must be a silent number. And so if you'd like to put your name and address on it this week, that is meant to be a joke. Thank you. I see you didn't get it, but if you just smile, it'll humour me. All right, the second one goes like this. You say, no, I'm not able to pray the prayer yet, but I'd appreciate speaking with somebody. Put a cross there, put your name and address and phone number, drop it in the bin the way out. Ditto, 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 the last one. So I've become a Christian recently. I'd like to do a short course in Christian growth. Well and good. See you next week.